awful, awful, awful if it really happened. And here we have like a problem reaction solution. These school kids are killed. Oh my God, it's awful. The reaction, the whole world is going, oh my God. And then the solution. We have to execute 500 terrorists, the Pakistani government says. Terrorists? Who labels terrorists nowadays? And who are these people? And 500 for doing what? I mean, you couldn't even push 500 into this school. You know? No. So who are the people they're going to execute? Anyway, you look at this, and if we go back to Sandy Hook, one of the victims in this so-called awful tragedy in the States in Sandy Hook was a little boy by the name of Noah Posner. He was 6 years old, beautiful little boy. Now, the pictures of Noah Posner got spread everywhere, and there was a lot of interviews, very strange interviews with his parents, or so-called parents, because the thing is, when you check out the FBI's own website when it comes to homicides and so on, when you look at Newport, where Sandy Hook is part of that part, the number of suicides were only like 2 or so that year when Sandy Hook took place. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we had this mass shooting where all of these children were killed, but not on FBI's own website. Sloppy, sloppy. So this happened on the 21st of December. That is exactly 2 years after the Sandy Hook shooting. And what do we see here? The pictures among the victims, one of the photos among the victims is Noah Posner.
Incredible.
The same exact photo, the same exact boy as were so-called killed in Sandy Hook. And I thought, oh my God, we have to wait, you know, take it easier, because maybe somebody photoshopped that photo in, you know, to get conspiracy theories going and so on.
Yeah, I was just about to say that to you, Ollie. I mean, a lot of these things, a lot of the people who believe the mainstream media take on things say, oh, no, that's just conspiracy theorists creating that, photoshopping, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and it's so important not to fall into these traps. So I started checking it out. I checked lots of different international newspapers, many different photos from different places, different angles, not the same site and so on. Every single time, Noah Posner was one of the victims. And you even got, there's a BBC, you can go to BBC's website and search for this shooting. There's one interview where the image, the thumbnail that you click on is of a returning boxer, one of the boxers, I think from UK or something like that. Mm-hmm. He's returning to the Pakistan to express his condolences and so on for the victims and their families. But click on that one and you will see that there's this Pakistani female reporter dressed in green, and she's walking along a wall. In the background, you got the families and lots of photos. They're standing pointing at the victims and so on in the background. And then this woman goes, well, we're here on this tragic day where all of these people, these poor children have lost their lives and so on. And when she walks by the wall, she pulls her hand along the wall with the photos there. And one of the photos is Noah Posner. Mm-hmm. What do you see? It's either it's extremely sloppy, or what is the whole idea? Or is it just...
Ollie, you're dead right, because I mean, Peaceful in the chat room is saying, are they getting careless on purpose? It begs the question that if they know they will be exposed due to being sloppy, as you say, what's their real agenda?
It is a very good question. I haven't figured it out. I'm just pointing things out, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm pointing it out so that people, for one of the main thing is to understand that these were not real events. They were staged event, and why were they staged? This is why when you see the solution being served, like in, for instance, if you have in Paris, all of these world leaders that came to show we're gonna walk here arm in arm, you know, side by side against terrorism. Well, very sorry, but you are the solution that is being presented. So you were part of the problem.
Yes.
You know? And then you have all these leaders. And some of the photos taken, you will see that loads of people behind them, and you see they're walking side by side, no bodyguards because they're so brave. Then there's some aerial photos being taken at the same time, and you see that the streets have been closed off in both ends. Then absolutely nowhere that anyone can get close to them. And then they have about four or five lines of people behind them. But since the photos are taken in the level of the street, in the street level, horizontal, it looks like there's a massive crowd, an illusion.
Yes.
Then you have, there was about, I think there was about 30,000, soldiers in Paris that was activated before this thing happened. Okay. Then just when it happened, they were on leave or withdrawn or whatever. I would just say that 30,000 people, I think it was 30, maybe it was 20, but it was many thousands of soldiers. If you have them in uniform, they look like soldiers. If you have them in civilian clothes, they look like people in the street protesting.
Uh-huh.
Could it be the same 30,000 people that we saw in the streets of Paris? And where does this whole thing with the slogan, I mean, the slogan was there, boom. Like that's the whole Charlie thing, you know, that was right there. Same fonts on the signs, same colors, the black and white. It was just there right away.
Just incredible, really. And to see the world leaders, you know, including our Egypt, our TD, our Taoiseach over there with, you know, with Netanyahu and Merkel and all the rest of them pretending to walk in the front of a demo where there was a massive gap behind it when you took it from above. It's just amazing that they even attempt to fool the public these days. Chug has a really interesting thing to say. He says, sloppy on purpose to find out who has their eyes open and who is being fooled.
Yeah, could be. Very good observation. I don't know. But I just love, I mean, I've done my absolute utmost for years and years to try and expose just the template of how these things are carried out so that people become aware of it. And I just know that nowadays, that as soon as one of these things happen, there's so many people on it, you know, checking every single millimeter of footage and so on. So it's wonderful what's going on, I think.
Yeah. Well, look, it's absolutely fantastic that you can go step by step through basically what is obviously a staged event. Are there any solutions that we can, you know, put forward ourselves to stop this type of thing happening in future? Is there a way that we can stop these staged events, or interrupt them even?
There is indeed. And this is the wonderful thing, how when you turn the technology against them, which I absolutely love. Like Chip Tatum, the whistleblower, our friend,
mm-hmm.
One of the things he said, if you can interrupt their timeline, because their timeline, many, many different events are involved in their plan. And so if anything we can do is to interrupt the timeline can mess it up for months for them, you know.
Right.
So I think it's a perfect way of screwing things up for them. Do you know, one of the things that keeps repeating are the so-called drills.
Yes.
That part of the false flag operation is a drill. The reason for this drill, in my opinion, is that is how they get bombs in position, they get vehicles in position, they get background actors, they get the patsies tricked into be in the wrong place for their sake at the wrong time, you know, so they can really blame the whole thing on them and so on. This is why they have these drills. And if the next time that you hear about a drill in your hometown or wherever it is, go there, bring a camera, bring a mobile phone, start filming them. It will look like a film set, you know, like if they were filming for Coca-Cola or whatever. Film them and make it very, very obvious that they're being observed.
Yes.
Make it very clear that they're being observed. Go in groups. Don't go alone. Go in groups. And just film them, fake filming them or whatever, but just make it very obvious that they're being observed. And by doing so, we might be able to defuse these things before they even happen. And since I've been warning about these things, a while ago, about a week ago or so, no, 2-3 weeks ago, there was a guy that contacted me from Denmark saying, I just walked home and I saw this post saying that there's a big drill in Copenhagen tonight. Mm-hmm. Could this be something of it? I said, yes, yes, thank you so much. So what I did, I went out on the internet and Facebook and all this and saying, please, anyone near this train station, it's one of the bigger ones in Copenhagen, please go there, film them, expose what is going on. You know, just whatever is planned, if anything is planned, let's just blow it apart by exposing it. So people went there and nothing happened. I don't know if something was planned, but I do know that nothing happened, and this is the main thing. And a while ago, I'm sorry I just rattle on tonight, John, but...
Since no, I know you only have an hour. I know that. I know that. And my listeners know that too.
Okay. So there was a very eerie image circulating that I don't know where it comes from, but there was four photos put together, and it was one where it says, Israel now, Dublin next, a picture of a bomb. Then it said, Israel now, Paris next, and a bomb with the Eiffel Tower. Then it was Israel now, Copenhagen next, with the little mermaid and a bomb. And then the last image was Israel now, Italy next, with, I think it was some statue in Italy. And when you look at it, as far as I know, there was some kind of bomb scare in Dublin a while ago. Then you had this Paris, or at least on Ireland. Then you had this thing in Paris. Then maybe we managed to defuse the one in Copenhagen. And then hopefully that would disturb the timeline for Italy. If Italy was really the next step or whatever. If anyone listens that are in Italy, please be aware of these the drills, especially
drills, yes.
If you see them announced. But if I can take it to one step further, because it's, I don't know if I'm pushing it too much or if I'm getting too cynical or whatever, but I'm starting to see a very clear pattern of how they are trying to advertise products as well when they do these false flag operations.
They've stuck some adverts in, have they?
If you check out the last years of so-called terror acts, when something has been filmed, it has, I would say, so many times it's been filmed with a GoPro camera. I don't want to give more commercial time for these products, but I'm just pointing it out. The GoPro camera, this is the one, the new favorite for the terrorists and also for the witnesses that film these things, GoPro camera. And often it's mentioned GoPro camera. Please keep in mind that millions and millions and millions of people globally will look into these things and have a look and read these about these things. Then you have in the newspaper office where these people were shot, supposedly, I would say when you look at the blood patterns on the floor, everything like that, the color of the blood it's not natural at all. It's this very, very bright red, which normal blood does not look like that, especially when it starts drying up. And the bullet holes in the wall, there's no splatter marks or any sliding marks in blood or anything like that, which is this normal at a crime scene like that when many people have been shot. There's also like a chair put right on top of the blood, no blood on the chair. The chair is just put right on top, which police officer would never do you would never mess up with a crime scene like that. But right next to the blood is a big red bag where it says Puma.
Mm.
Okay. And then you have the Citroën, the car that is being picked up and lifted up on a truck. It is shining like it's a showroom car. You know,
you're gonna tell me that the shoe that was the marker is also an advert.
It's too far away, but when. But I tell you, Sean, if you go on Google Maps, I don't know if they've taken it away after I started talking about it or whatever, but if you go to the exact spot in Paris where this shooting took place, it's the street is called Richard Léonard, Léonard Boulevard number 62. If you go down there, Google Map it, you go down on street level, and you check the street view, you have you look, there's one shop window where it says legalize it. Maybe I'm pushing it too far, but I know that the power behind the legalizing marijuana and so on, people think, oh my God, finally they're letting us free. It's so wonderful. I'm sorry, the tax they pull in by the taxation they're using now, they're pulling in millions and millions on that. I don't know, this is a French shop. It's an online shop. I don't know if that's just a coincidence, but it says www, legalize it on the window. Then when you turn around towards the pavement where the police officer was shot, there's a big, big truck, and on the whole side of the truck is rent a car and then the company name and the and the website. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Well, listen, Ollie, we're just going to have to get in there, right, and do a bit of Photoshopping and put peoplesinternetradio.com there and lightonconspiracies.com, etc.
For sure. But the only reason, what I want to say is just before you buy into these things, check out the facts. Just use normal logic.
Absolutely.
Calm down, breathe in, don't buy what the TV is saying right away. Since TV is so controlled at this point in history, check out for information on through other sources like this program and so on. And then check it out in great detail and see what you come up with. And also, let's stop this by being one step ahead of them instead of always being one step behind.
Absolutely. And now, Ollie, you know that we have really great chats for our 2 or 3 hour shows. And I do apologize that we're coming to the end of this hour.
No, it's wonderful. Ole Johansson, he was one of the other speakers at the Open Mind Conference in Copenhagen, where I had the great honor of being invited. So he's a great guy. He really knows what he's talking about. So
well,
I'm so
looking forward to talking to him, as I was looking forward to talking to you, of course. But I have to ring him. So, I'm going to pop a tune on and I'm going to have to say cheerio to you, Ollie. But listen, the step by step guide is now this hour, that we've just done, because the step by step guide of showing absolutely without doubt that the Paris, shooting was a false flag.
Well, I think so.
You've done it. I think you've proven it. And if people look at it, they're going to see it too. So, Ollie Damigard, thank you so much for coming on Out of the Bag, my friend.
You're most welcome, Sean. You take care, my friend.
And you too.
I didn't hear any of your poems. That's a bit of a bummer.
We've got plenty of time for that. And my listeners, even though Peaceful actually requested one right at the start of the show, I'm pretty sure that they've heard plenty of my poems. We'll have to move on with this packed show, I tell you.
You do. And please say hello to Ole from me.
Absolutely, I will do indeed. And listen, lots of people send their love and think you're fantastic from the chat room. It was very, very difficult to try and stop you to tell you that type of stuff. So, Ollie Damigard, once again, thank you so much for being on Out of the Bag, my friend. Okay.
Thank you.
Good night and God bless to you.
Good night.
Thank you. So, that was Ollie Damigard and, just absolutely nails it every single time. I'm going to pop on a tune and hopefully try and get Ollie Johansson on as soon as I possibly can.
I think that the struggle for the airwaves, for the Pacifica network, is one of the most important things going on in the country today, because it really represents a struggle for the hearts and minds of the people. And if we can't communicate to people, we're not going to be able to reach them. And this is about that, and about what they're not telling us, why we need shows like Democracy Now! You'd think I'm really trying to ingratiate myself with the staff of Democracy Now!, but, and it's true, but... The CIA is pushing crack in the ghettos of LA, while the food crops in Colombia get sprayed by the DEA. The FBI is reading your email with something called the carnivore, while the rich are getting richer and the poor are staying poor. They're launching nuclear-powered ships up into space. One little accident could wipe out half the human race. They're putting radioactive waste into your silverware, or maybe your toaster, or perhaps your wheelchair. The Air Force is bombing Iraq every other day. They don't like the government, so the children have to pay. And the ozone hole is growing, the sheep are going blind, while the U.S. spends more on arms than the rest of the world combined. Journalists are getting fired from San Jose to Atlanta when they write about reality, not a fluff piece for Fanta. A death threat every week, and sometimes life is short when the truth is too dangerous for someone to report. And who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? The cancer rates are skyrocketing, though people are smoking less. If you live near a nuke, your life is bound to be a mess. Clean water's almost gone all over the earth, and what's left they want to privatize and see how much it's worth. Chevron is gunning down the students of Nigeria, turning the land to waste while the babies die of diphtheria. And the temperatures are rising, the world's forests are on fire. Pretty soon Brazil will be one raging funeral pyre. And who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? One in three adult Americans cannot read or write, and their children go to bed hungry every night. 2 million U.S. citizens are rotting behind bars, and while they're there, they're working hard building parts for cars. The Army's running torture schools to keep the earth under control, and they're relocating Navajos so they can mine some extra coal. Our taxes pay McDonald's to sell tumors in Shanghai, while 100,000 poison vets are just about to die. And who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? And the people are resisting wherever you may go, and this is the single biggest fact they don't want you to know. From New Delhi to New Mexico, there are battles going on, and the darkest hour is just before the dawn. In Berkeley and New York, they're raiding radio stations, trying to turn the voice of the people into the voice of the corporations. Will we seize the airwaves, wipe the sweat off of our brow, stand and face the beast and shout democracy now? Who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? That we're living in these times? That we're living in these times.
And welcome back to Out of the Bag. This is Sean Maguire live on People's Internet Radio. That's www.peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are seeking solutions. And Ollie Damigard, what a fantastic hour we just had with him, explaining the truth, maybe, of the Paris shootings and all the propaganda and mainstream media crap that went with it. Now, I'm going to actually try and call Ollie Johansson in, and I didn't want to ruin that song because that was Who Will Tell the People. I can't even remember who sang it, but hey, Who Will Tell the People who sang that song? It was brilliant. I loved it. I'm going to try and use this Skype call right now. And live radio, don't you love it? And I'm calling the number that I was given. Let's hope this works.
Ollie, what's on?
Hello, Ollie. This is Sean Maguire here, live on Out of the Bag.
Oh, it's so nice to hear from you.
And fantastic to hear your voice. And do you know, you are the first person I have ever called live on my show. So welcome. Welcome to the Out of the Bag, Ollie.
Well, thank you so much.
And before we even go on, I have to say that my first guest was Ollie Damigard, and he sends you his kind regards, so he does.
Oh, the very same to him as well, you know.
Absolutely, thank you. So Ollie, I am a novice to all this, and maybe a lot of our listeners are too. So I reckon a little bit of an introduction from yourself would be fantastic before we move on to your subject matter.
Okay. My name is Sten-Ole Johansson, and I work here in Stockholm, Sweden at the Department of Neuroscience at the Karolinska Institute. The Karolinska Institute, to most people, is very famous because we hand out the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine here at the faculty. I have been studying the neurosciences for many years, and then I moved into the area of health effects of electromagnetic fields, as well as also the functional impairment electrohypersensitivity.
Wow. So basically the EMFs, the Wi-Fi, and how all the cellular phones and even computers, etc., are affecting us.
Exactly. And also, of course, other types of electromagnetic fields, like from power lines and power distribution, and you mentioned computers, mobile phones, other cellular phones, wireless indoor telephones, wireless internet, e-readers, tablets, and so on, and a whole variety of other gadgets that we use nowadays to brush our teeth and whip our cream and so on, and all of them do give off electromagnetic fields. And they, compared to natural background, are often extremely high, or even as high as can only be understood in astronomical terms, really. They're very, very high levels.
Right. So basically, anyone living in a city is going to be absolutely bombarded.
Yes. And if you look on the distribution of various electromagnetic fields in a city, it has been calculated by physicists here in Sweden that approximately 70% is from wireless systems such as phones and wireless internet. And the rest is then divided between other sources of electromagnetic fields, like electric train engines and the electric power supply in your car, at your home, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow, that's incredible. I mean, I'm on the Ethernet here, and I do live out in the countryside, if you like, here in the west coast of Ireland. But, you know, I travel by train, there's Wi-Fi, there are people using their phones all the time. You know, I have a phone as well. Somebody kindly supplied me with a phone that I could record and meet people and interview them live on the go, if you like. So basically we're just... Is there a way... Is there a different frequency? Are there good frequencies that we could change the damaging frequencies or not?
Oh, that's a very good point you bring up. And there has been for quite a number of years discussions regarding the different types of wavelengths or frequencies. And, of course, very long wavelengths, that means the extremely low frequent fields or very low frequent fields, mm-hmm. Maybe we are not affected by them. There are studies indicating, and also the differences between pulsed fields, alternating fields, compared to direct currents, etc. But there isn't really any firm knowledge yet. But we are looking for, as you say, either good fields or at least fields that doesn't do anything to your cells and molecules. And unfortunately, if we move into the radio frequent area, including microwaves, they are so short, so they will impact on your body, on your organs, on your tissues, on your cells, and even further down to your molecules. Mm. And that may be solved, as you indicate, by constructing tomorrow's human-friendly technology based on other modulations, pulsations, frequencies, etc. And I think we only are viewing the very start of that. And of course, also the manufacturers as well as the operators, they are interested to see if they can come up with other solutions. And I'm sure while we talk now, there is probably a bunch of young men and women in a garage somewhere in San Francisco coming up with tomorrow's green technology.
Well, it'd be really, really nice. I mean, as a child, I thought, you know, we certainly need these technologies to be fantastic if we can see each other when we're talking on the phone and all this type of stuff, you know, science fiction back then that has actually become a reality. I just genuinely presumed, you know, in my ignorance, in my naivety, in my lack of knowledge, if you like, that we can do this without harming each other. I mean, is this just all part of Agenda 21 and the depopulation process on the go whilst making lots of money from technology?
Well, you know, I cannot really comment on that kind of ideas, of course, because I don't have any knowledge regarding any depopulation phenomenon and so on. But I mean, practically, it could mean that we do harm not only ourselves, but also other living organisms, as well as plants, bacteria, etc. And there are a number of studies pointing to it. And as you say, all these gadgets, they do make your life much more fun and in many instances much easier.
Yes.
And I'm sure that we could construct, and maybe it's very simple, as you said before, by using other frequencies. And of course, also shielded cabled systems instead of the wireless may be a very quick solution. And I'm not so sort of impressed by the mobility of today's systems. It's more a matter of people being able to pick up their phone wherever they are, which in itself is actually a stressor, as you know. And maybe it would be better if they were cabled again. You had to go into a certain room or make your calls there and then leave and do something else, and your computer would be cabled and shielded as well. And there will be, of course, a change sort of back to what we had before, but that would be a very low price to pay to get no damage and no health interference.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, at the moment, we're finding people, you know, suffering from all sorts of different, I suppose, reactions. And you coined the term screen dermatitis, for example.
Oh, yes. And I mean, that's a big question. And not only inside the European Union and Sweden and islands and so on, but also all around the world, people do react. And also there are a number of studies nowadays indicating an association between man-made electromagnetic fields and various illnesses and various problems like learning capacity interference, decreased concentration, etc. So, yes, indeed, there are so many studies. I mean, we're talking about tens of thousands of peer-review-based scientific publications, all unfortunately pointing in the very same direction that we need to do something, and probably I would say do it very fast.
Yes.
Because otherwise there could be a price tag down the line to be paid. And, I mean, one thing that is very telling, I mean, we could be accused of kind of painting the devil on the wall, but there are people that have already painted the devil on the wall. I'm thinking, for instance, about the insurance companies around the world that do not insure or take responsibility for these gadgets, not at all. So they have their own sort of precautionary principle. And to me, that's very telling. If these gadgets and techniques were safe, they would definitely be safe to ensure. And also the manufacturers, as you probably know, they also tell the consumers to keep, for instance, a mobile phone or a tablet at least 1 inch away from your body.
Yes.
And I would say that's a very, legally, it's a very smart way to skip any form of liability, because if you would come down with some disease or cancer or whatever and try to put these companies to the legal bar, especially in the United States, to get compensation, economic compensation, they would probably start by asking you, in which hand did you hold your mobile phone? And you would say, well, it was mostly the right hand, you know. And then they would reply and say, well, we told you couldn't. You had to keep it 1 inch away from your body. And also the radiation protection authorities, you know, they officially claim that all these gadgets and techniques are completely and totally safe. Hmm. But then they add that for safety reasons, they suggest that you should use them as little as possible. You should use your hands free and so on. And to me, you know, from a legal point of view, either a gadget is safe or it is not.
Yes.
And again, you see that there are a lot of telling stories that the insurance companies, the manufacturers, the operators, the radiation protection authorities, they do not take responsibility. They do not want to have any form of liability for all these gadgets. But at the same time, they sell it to the consumers as if it would be completely safe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if enough people got together, you know, that were in the position where they could, and obviously could, I suppose in America, sue the companies, the manufacturers, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Would it not be a big enough, I suppose, proof that liability should have been accepted you know, the small
print. I agree
print
with you, but but already, you know, at the meeting in London 2004, that's 11 years ago, the manufacturers, the operators, as well as the insurance companies, very clearly removed their hands from any form of liability, and they were completely honest and very blunt about it.
Yes.
And I remember one lawyer said that the companies around the world, they had learned from, like, the tobacco scandal, and he meant that in the future, companies, the manufacturers and the operators and so on, would never be put to any form of liability, and any costs, health costs in the future would be held only by countries, by governments and parliaments.
Mm.
And I very often, you know, I listen to discussions where a very common question to an operator, for instance, is how much money per year do you put aside for future legal claims from the consumers? And they just look surprised and say, no, we don't put aside anything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I would say, the modern story for mankind, that companies, they take the profit, the society take the cost.
Yes, absolutely. In more ways than one.
And I think there we need a new type of debate and a political action. I'm sure it will come, actually. And you should not be able to avoid any such responsibility claim. And there are, as you know, in the European Union, a lot of political discussions about producer responsibility and so on. But it needs to be put into real action.
It really does.
And I mean, that's also new. I mean, if you look backwards in the history of industrialism, I mean, the classical company, whatever they did, they have had a lot of workers, a few persons in the office, the CEO and a few board members. But nowadays, you know, these big companies, they also have a new department, namely thousands of lawyers. constantly looking for loopholes, constantly protecting them, and so on. And that is in itself also very telling. Of course, they know very clearly that these gadgets and these electromagnetic fields and so on, they are not safe.
Yes.
And therefore, they need to ensure that they get away in a safe way, you know, from liability.
Well, one thing that this, if you like, a forward move in the direction of them taking the responsibility would be to get people with great credentials.